Blaine and Mickey on 104.5 The Zone. Let's hit the plains now. Let's talk to my man, Van Allen Plexico, who joins us now. I was teasing this a little bit, Van. You and I got to know each other really through Twitter, which Twitter is, this was in the early stages probably for both of us to even be on that. Mm-hmm. But there start to be all these crazy rumors that Gus Malzahn might come and coach at Arkansas State. And dude, if I could go back in time, Van, and find all the big college football guys who said, this is the dumbest thing ever. It's never going to happen. And a few days later, I went to the airport in Jonesboro and took a picture of Gus Malzahn getting off an airplane. And off we went with the friendship and talking back and forth as he spent 11 months in Jonesboro and then went back to Auburn. But good to have you on again, man.
Good to have you. Good to be here, Mickey. Good to talk to you. Yeah, again. Yeah, it was funny. That was the smartest thing that that Gus could have done because he got off the sinking ship before it sunk and wasn't tainted by that 3-9 year with Chizik that last year. So he's able to come back, you know.
No doubt.
Right. Yeah, sure did. It's crazy looking at this Auburn thing. They haven't even played a football game since Halloween. So what in the world have you guys been talking about down there for 3 weeks?
Yeah, every time we'd go to do our the AU Wishbone podcast every Monday night, my wife says, what have you got to talk about? I'm like, well, we're going to preview the game we're hoping we're going to have, you know, next week because we didn't get anything to talk about from last week. They've had 20 players. You know, they had like 10 that were tested positive and 10 more through contact tracing. So 2 weeks ago when we were going to play or a week ago we were going to play Mississippi State, we'd have been down 20 players. So, it's kind of good that we've had this layoff. We still don't know who's going to play Saturday, really. We don't know.
Well, I was going to ask you that. I had written this down earlier that they're still going to be missing. It looks like they're still going to be missing players and could be a lot on Saturday.
Yeah, Gus isn't saying. He's said that there's – I don't think anybody's necessarily sick that we know of, but because of either the positive test or the contact tracing or whatever, there's some that the timetable won't have rolled around enough yet. So, but he's not saying who. He just says next man up. He said, I did see that he said something in effect of, we knew going into this season we're going to have some third stringers playing at some points, and that's maybe what we look at. And this Auburn team, I mean, this is something that my partner John and I have talked about for years, is that Auburn is always, we've usually got, you know, 4 or 5-star players on the first team, but we're never super deep at every key position. And so, like, if Bo Nix couldn't play, I have no idea what Auburn would look like. If if Tank Bigsby can't play, there goes the running game, you know. If Seth Williams can't play, there goes the passing game. So I really don't know what to expect. I don't think anybody does.
On with my man Van Allen Plexico, covers Auburn with the AU Wishbone podcast.
Yes. Well, Van, I have to ask you, now that they've been, I think, not played in, what, 20-something days or so, what are the pros and the cons that, you know, the coach have talked about, and maybe some of you, you know, maybe you guys have talked about it on your podcast there, Wishbone podcast, about, you know, you think the guys are going to come out with a lot of energy, but maybe a little sloppy. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, that's a very good question, Lane, because it was like having the 1 week off seemed perfect. We beat the snot out of LSU, just steamrolled LSU. Everything was finally clicking. You take a week off for the last of the players to get healthy, and then you go in and you have a Mississippi State team that's kind of on the rocks, and it feels like we were just building up momentum toward the end of the season in the big games. Now you wonder, has it been too long? Have they, you know, they kind of lost that edge that they'd gotten after LSU? LSU seems like 100 years ago now. So there's, it's kind of 50-50. On the one hand, I mean, if everybody that's going to be healthy pretty much should be healthy now. But on the other hand, do they even remember how to play football anymore? I don't know. So we're going to find out.
Well, speaking of that, what is the health of the team? And I'm not talking about the, you know, the corona and everything, you know, COVID-19. But, you know, what about injuries to players or key players that may be still not healthy or are healthy and happy that they had a little bit of a layoff?
Yeah, there's a couple. KJ Britt's one of our great linebackers. He's been out for a month now. I was going to say a couple of games with like an injured hand. He may be back. He may not. We don't know. One good thing though is that all season long, our big 6'7" freshman tight end Brandon Frazier, who was supposed to be an early contributor, he's missed the whole season. He should be able to play. And Jay Handy hasn't played at defensive line all year. He's expected to play. So while we may be missing some because of the coronavirus, on the other hand, we may be getting some guys back due to the layoff from their just regular injury. So it's, again, it's kind of a 50-50 thing, and this is just a mystery team and a mystery year. I think Tennessee's a mystery team too. This is just a big mystery. The whole thing.
Well, I mean, this is trying times. This is, you know, no one can plan for this, so yeah. You just don't know what you're going to get week to week. But based off you know, the quarterback's performance, Bo Nix, what do you think so far thus, you know, through the season and games he's played? He got his guys a winning record. So is he doing pretty good, or is kind of just okay? Or has he been spectacular? I haven't watched him closely.
Yeah, Bo's been kind of all over the map this year. It's weird. He had probably his worst game ever against South Carolina. We're proud to say that we lost to Muschamp in his farewell season.
Yeah,
it's like clearly that win wasn't enough to save his job. But
that was what, three turnovers in that game for Auburn's how you lost it, right?
That was the game that not only did he turn the ball over, he kept trying to force it to Seth Williams and kind of forgot we had any other players on the team, you know, and that's not good. But then again, we turn around against LSU and he was just the last two games. And I think what we've kind of figured out that they've done is that they've instead of him just scrambling for his life, because he had the tendency to kind of scramble and run away from pressure before there's even pressure. So what they've done the last couple of games is model the offense around him doing that anyway. They've designed rollouts designed to roll him away from the line of scrimmage, which he would do anyway, but now he knows what he's doing when he does it. So you kind of fit the plays and fit the attack to what he already was doing. You make a bad habit into a good habit, kind of. And it seems to be working because he is a decent runner. His passing is better when he kind of knows where he's going with the ball and what he's doing, not just trying to force it to Seth Williams. You add in a little RPO with him rolling out and maybe running, and he's actually done the last two games, I would say, much better than the first half of the season for sure.
Yeah. All righty, we're on with Van Allen Plexco, talking to Auburn football. Yep.
So – how collaborative, and I say this because I know Rhett Lashley well, and I know kind of what people said about when he was the OC and how maybe collaborative things were or weren't. How collaborative are things with Gus and Chad Morris?
Well, that's always the eternal Gus Malzahn mystery question.
That laugh makes me wonder, man.
Oh, well, man, I mean – every year, the big question among Auburn fans is this Gus's offense? Is this the offensive coordinator's offense? Is it 50-50? Is it 80-20? And they never say, we never know. We kind of have to make guesses and inferences based on the evidence that we see. And, you know, like Gus will say, oh, that was all, you know, that was all him. No, we know you. We know what was going on in the field. So it's hard always to predict. I think that with Chad Morris, it's probably more likely to be mostly him than if it was anybody else. You know, when we had Chip Lindsey, you know, Gus talked a good game about, oh, I'm going to let Chip run the offense. Well, you know, he wasn't going to any do that. And so, yeah, I think Chad is the one person that could come in there and actually run the offense and Gus kind of leave him alone. And like I said, I think it has evolved a lot in a positive direction the last couple of games. So I'm just crossing my fingers that trend continues.
It's interesting, too, with Gus's offense. I remember hearing Eli Drinkwitz say this when he worked for Gus. And my Lord, Van, think about what's happened with that cat since that water has gone under the bridge.
Yep.
But they kept calling it a spread offense. And he like corrected somebody and said, we're a downhill run offense with spread principles or something like that. We both know this. I mean, it's fun to watch the ball go up in the air, but if Gus could go in a game, run it 65 times, he'd run it 65 times. He would. He'd run the same play 11 times in a row if he could. Yeah. We saw him do it one day in a game. He did it in a game. They ran the same play like 8 or 9 times in a row on a drive and scored on it. I mean, I know it. I've seen him do
it. I love it.
Oh, and it was all run plays.
he's run the same play 75 times in a row on second and short for 8 years.
I don't know if I love that though.
For eight years.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Oh, if we get a first down and are in this hurry up mode, we immediately go to run up the middle, and everybody knows it. John and I have been saying for years that we're setting up the bomb for a touchdown, and we just keep wondering what year are we finally going to do the pull it out and throw it, you know, instead of just run up the middle. So this is like the longest setup in the history of football.
you know that tricky Gus. He's just waiting. We're on with Van Allen Plexico, AU Wishbone Podcast.
Yeah, Van, I have to ask you, man. I couldn't believe this when I saw this. Auburn is favored by 10 points. Now, go. What were you thinking? Whoa.
I think that's probably because we looked so good against LSU and haven't played since then. And Tennessee, I mean, let's be honest, they started the season pretty darn good, and it's just kind of fallen off a cliff. And I can't quite – I mean, you guys maybe know better than I do what happened, but it's like they just kind of – the offense – I mean, you know, going in, we thought, okay, their offensive line, their defensive line are going to be the strengths. They can lean on those. And like you said, Mickey, they could do like Gus wants to do and just run the ball all the time and just kind of control the game like that. But it doesn't seem to be working. And so, yeah, I think that anybody rational that looks at the two teams where they're playing right now is going to say, you know, Auburn should win by, you know, double digits maybe. But then again, if you look at the history of this series and you look at, Jeremy Pruitt against Gus Malzahn, it gets a little tricky. You know, Jeremy's been kind of a bee in his bonnet, you know, for a long time, going all the way back to the national championship game in 2013 at Florida State. So,
yeah,
I don't have high confidence in that Gus versus Pruitt matchup. I think it probably will be a lot closer than that.
Well, Van, what are the thoughts of the fan base or even the coaching staff at this point? Or how far they think they can go, or, you know, or do they think they can make even the playoffs if they're extended?
Auburn?
Man, I'm just saying. I'm hearing people say, "Oh man, we can go all if they expanded the playoffs. We think we could get it." I mean, well, we can't do it now, but yeah, they may.
All right. Well, this kind of sums it up. I think this kind of sums up where the fans are right now. I saw that Auburn football official Twitter account tweeted, "Gus Malzahn is on the short list for the Bryant Coach of the Year award," and all the Auburn comments underneath it were, "Why?" I mean, we kind of, when we lost to South Carolina, a whole lot of us are kind of like, all right, we're pretty much, you know, we've given this show 8 years more or less, and you know, I kind of jumped off the Gus bus in 2016 when we just started 0-2, and I've been I want him to succeed, but I'm like, you know, I don't know. I'm waiting to see, because I honestly feel like we could probably do better at this point. And, you know, the after we lost to South Carolina, the question had always been, well, who could we get that's better that would go to Auburn? Mm-hmm. And after that South Carolina loss, the answer was kind of like anybody, you know, almost. We kind of got to that point.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mean, we're just kind of, you know, you fan bases get kind of tired. You get tired of each other after a while. And after 8 years of Gus kind of building us up and letting us down, building us up and letting us down, you know, 8-4, 8-4, 8-4, losing the bowl game. It just is so predictable, you know. It just gets kind of, you just like, let's try something else, you know.
So. Meanwhile, Van is going to be handing him his 100th, you know, game trophy right before the game, because this is, are they doing anything special for him? I know it's a night game and all, right? It's still a night game.
Yeah.
All over the place. But
6 or 6:30, yeah.
Yeah, it's his 100th game, right? That's what they're saying. You're going to give him his trophy for his 100th game?
I don't know if you get a trophy for that.
I'd like a watch.
Yeah.
A gold watch.
Yeah. Yeah, so give him Pat Dye's pants they pulled out of that lake. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Frame it. Talking Auburn football, man.
So let's ask you this, because there's always a burner under his seat. And sometimes it's really hot, and sometimes it's just like when you have those fireplace logs where there's a little flame all the time, but there's always something. How hot does that thing get if they lose to Tennessee? Because they've already lost to South Carolina.
Ooh, well, and they look bad losing to Georgia, and Georgia's not nearly what they were at the beginning of the season. It's so funny. We always say, man, if we could just play Georgia early in the season, we'd beat them. And we finally got Georgia early in the season, and they killed us. And we're like, oh. Yeah, it's like we love the fact that Gus beats Alabama as often as not. I mean, he's got as good of a record against Alabama as anybody could have, honestly. But we keep losing to Georgia. We, up until this year, keep losing to LSU. You know, we had that horrible loss to Tennessee 2 years ago, probably the worst loss in his entire tenure. We lost to South Carolina here. It's just kind of like we get a little tired of 8-4. You know, we want something. We're willing to go 6-6 a couple of years if we could maybe not be 8-4 every year and start building back up. So, you know, it's been said that Auburn is very quick on the trigger finger. And I've always said we're not quick on the trigger finger. We've only had like five coaches going back to the 1980s. It's that we're quick to wave the gun around. We wave that gun around all the time. We don't shoot that often, but, man, we love to wave it around, you know. We had Gus on the hot seat the year after he won the took us to the national championship game. So
I remember.
Yeah, so, and Chizik made it one more year after the, you know, into his second year after the national championship. So, I don't know. I think that there is considerable pressure, and I think if he looks really bad, I think that's the main thing. If we lose to Tennessee and don't look good the rest of the year, he's got that big buyout, but it gets smaller every day, you know? And I really honestly feel like I think he's probably got at most two more years at most at Auburn, I honestly think.
Is there any chance, because you mentioned that loss 2 years ago, that Garantano, that's maybe his signature game at Tennessee, hit some, you know, some of those 50-50 balls. He was trusting his receivers, something they don't really seem to trust anybody throw the ball anywhere down the field this year. But is there any chance that the Tigers get caught flat-footed looking ahead to Alabama? Because that one's next.
Man, that's weird to even say, isn't it, to think that they
– yeah.
Yeah, the schedule is so weird. We've still got to play A&M and now Mississippi State after the Iron Bowl. That is just – you know, even in the 9/11 year, we only played one game after Alabama. We had to redo the LSU game. I mean, no, anything is possible, no doubt about it. If our defense is kind of, it has its moments of brilliance and it has its moments that you don't know what they're doing. And I remember against Tennessee 2 years ago, they didn't look like they knew what they were doing. They couldn't defend anybody. So I would not be surprised at all if old Guantanamo Bay lights up our secondary, yeah.
Well, Van, always good to catch up with you. Always interesting what's going on down on the plains. Before we go, I was just going to ask you this because we're hearing his name a lot here. How much is Hugh Freeze's name coming up down there now? Because it seems to be coming up everywhere where they think, hey, who could we get better? He seems to be that answer for everybody. Well, Hugh Freeze.
He's Gus Malzahn with a passing game. And I brought this up to John, my partner, on the show Monday night. I said, what about Hugh Freeze? He's like, for Auburn? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, John's opinion was that Hugh Freeze's transgressions were just below Briles and roughly even with Petrino. And because of that, Auburn would never, never, never hire him. And I'm like, I think he's got a shot. I don't know if it's at Auburn, but I think he's going to have a good SEC job again before too long. So it really just comes down to, you know, do people think what he did was that bad versus, you know, the thing. So we'll see.
Yeah, Gus Malzahn with a passing game. And those guys are actually good friends. Gus and Hugh are really good friends and go way back. Van, great stuff, man. At Van Allen Plexico on Twitter, at AU Wishbone is the podcast. You write books, you teach classes, you do all kinds of stuff. Really good Twitter follow, man. We appreciate you jumping on today.
Hey, yeah, he said he's read all 100 of those books behind him.
Yeah,
too.
He's surrounded by
can
books.
See that, but I mean, yeah, man, he's got a lot of books. He does a lot of reading and writing.
His Zoom feed smells of rich mahogany. Thank you. Thanks, man. See you, brother.
Good talking to you guys.
See you,
War Eagle. Thanks.
All right, War Eagle. Lots going on with UT. We will discuss when we come back. Lots of stuff, including Phil Fulmer, who knew, with an extension. We'll get to that next on Blaine and Mickey.
What are you talking about, Willis?
20 seconds.
See you, Van.
I'll see you guys.
See you, Van.
It's good to meet you,
All
Blaine.
Right. Thank you, brother.